This is Naomi Wolf with Outspoken, and the Substack is Pixels, Bots, and Human Cruelty, a major book launches, revealing a massive scandal, and grotesque attacks begin. So it begins. The War Room Daily Cloud Pfizer documents research volunteers have produced 51 stunning reports, compiling all of their findings from their months-long review and analysis of the Pfizer documents, and we at Daily Cloud have published them as an ebook. And there's the link to Vigilant Fox summary of our publication. The primary source documents, of course, on which these reports are based, were released as a result of a successful lawsuit by attorney Aaron Seary and his firm. This publication of the 51 reports is the culmination of immense labor from the War Room Daily Cloud Pfizer documents research volunteers, 3,500 medical and scientific experts, ranging from biostatisticians to RNs to medical fraud investigators, anesthesiologists and pathologists and lab clinicians, research scientists and sports medicine physicians and cardiologists, all of whom work together under the killer angel leadership of the incomparable Project Director, Daily Cloud COO, Amy Kelly. These heroes, both named and anonymous, have produced hundreds of pages of devastating truths about the crimes inflicted on the human species via mRNA vaccination. Catastrophic facts that both Pfizer and the FDA wished to keep hidden for 75 years. It is a record of crimes astonishing in their scale and detail. This publication means that the whole world can see, compiled now in one place, torrents of primary source evidence and analysis of what appears now to be the greatest attack on humanity since World War II. That publication happened on Tuesday, the 10th of January, 2023. By Wednesday, January 11th, 2023, my reputation and Daily Cloud's, perhaps predictably, was once again being subjected to a full-out digital assault and from multiple directions. Luckily, I've been here before, and there is very little that these attacks can do to me, to us indeed, at this point. Nonetheless, watching this process unfold yet again is both ugly and sad. Friends told me that journalist Alex Berenson was once again attacking me. This is a journalist who, as I was deplatformed permanently in 2021 for accurately identifying menstrual harms as a side effect of mRNA vaccination, called me out of the blue, quote, batshit crazy and counterfactual, end quote, though I was in fact completely right. He wrote at that time on Twitter, where I could not respond, that he gave, quote, Jack credit, end quote, after he had silenced and deplatformed me upon this warning of menstrual harms to women, a warning of mine that documents now show the CDC had discussed with social media platforms. Thus, these two influential men, happily together with one congratulating the other, closed down a conversation of vital importance to women and girls, to babies born and unborn around the world. Due to the suppression of speech celebrated by Mr. Berenson's nasty little swipes at my prescient concern at menstrual harms then being reported, my alarm at eyewitness testimony about women ranging from postmenopausal elders down to 11-year-old girls bleeding their insides out onto hospital sheets, millions of women and young girls tragically sustained life-altering damage, millions of babies may never be brought alive into the world at full term. Nice job there, fellas. High fives all around. Thus, these two guys, these two men, these dudes who don't bleed or conceive or carry or bear or nurse babies and who thus presumably have no idea how hard all of that can be without adding the risk or reality of major damage to one's entire reproductive system, decided with no evidence whatsoever that a woman such as I am is, quote, batshit crazy for worrying publicly and accurately about whether or not women and girls who would become women would ever be able to conceive, carry, and give birth to living children. The misogyny evident in Mr. Berenson's and Jack's dismissing such serious health concerns that would affect half of the human population was in 2021 nauseating. And here's the quote from Alex Berenson. I have to give Twitter Jack credit, though they have let me post basically untouched. And though I don't think they should have suspended Naomi Wolf on pure free speech grounds, let's be honest, much of what she said was counterfactual and batshit crazy. End quote. I try not to engage with personal attacks, but I do wish at last to put my objection to Mr. Berenson's and Jack's treatment of women's concerns and dismissal of their very real suffering in 2021 on the record. This time I didn't even bother to look around under any rocks for whatever Mr. Berenson may or may not have said about me. He has his own reckoning to do with history and with my gender. I'll leave him to it. The attacks this week came in from other directions too, thick and fast. NewsGuard, a hack-like, quote, fact-check platform, whose mission is to delegitimize any of us who challenge, quote, the narrative, came after Daily Clout to execute a gaslighting hit job. They did this on the very day that the Pfizer Documents Reports ebook was published on Daily Clout's website. Well, my goodness gracious, who funds NewsGuard? Quote, NewsGuard received much of its startup funds from Publicis Group, a giant global communications group with divisions that brand imaging, design of digital business platforms, media relations, and healthcare. Publicis Group's health subsidiary, Publicis Health, names Lilly, Abbott, Roche, Amgen, Genentech, Celgene, Gilead, Biogen, AstraZeneca, Sanofi, Bayer, and other big pharma giants as clients, which gives you an idea of where its loyalties lie. GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, has also awarded Publicis Media a healthy piece of business, and the communications group responded by creating a custom platform GSK to run the drug giant's media business. GSK adds $400 million to $1.5 billion Publicis collaboration. And there's the link. But of all of these attacks, which surely represent just the beginning, the one that makes me saddest, but also the most certain that we are completely over the target now, is a morally repellent attack staged on Telegram and effected in a very 21st century way by creating a false me and a false someone else. There is a fake, quote, Naomi R. Wolf, end quote, on Telegram, and that fake entity has 38,000 followers, all of whom probably believe that they are following me. This fake identity online is a source of torment to me because of her or his or their unspeakable prose style and his or their use of little blue arrows pointing this way and that sensationally, a mannerism that grates like nails on a chalkboard. But the fake Naomi Wolf also gives me the creeped out feeling of having a literary stalker because when I post something, she, he, they immediately post something along the same lines, but badly written. It's like having a tacky, blousy, overdressed, grammatically intolerable doppelganger. My advisors and I have tried everything possible to get rid of this catfisher who is misusing my name and image. Legal cease and desist letters, complaints to Telegram, which company seems to exist in the ether somewhere, and plaintiff calls to action on social media. Nothing has worked. She, he, it just keeps growing stronger and more offensively prolix, like the succubus leaping out of the chests of its victims in the movie Alien. But this time, she, he, they went too far, because now people about whom I care are sending me a breathless screed by the Naomi R. Wolf on Telegram, who is declaring that there would be a live stream regarding JFK Jr. JFK Jr. is, of course, no longer with us. Quote, breaking, JFK Jr. just went live. More than 6,000 people are already accepted and watching the stream, as you can see. We are working on approving new members. Watch here. Awful little blue arrow. And there, horribly, the stuff of nightmares, is an image of a face that has been, quote, aged so that it looks purportedly the way JFK Jr. would look today if he had lived. The optics and goal of such a gross, deranged-sounding announcement are obvious. If you want to undermine hundreds of pages of exposé of a great crime, pages that are scrupulously hyperlinked and written by highly credentialed people who are using primary source documents created by Pfizer itself and signed off on by the FDA, all you can really do is try to make the person who convened the project look like a lunatic. Batshit Crazy Berenson, The Madness of Naomi Wolf, The New Republic, which ran that headline even while it was still syndicating my work. But worse things happened via my nebulous doppelganger using this nasty strategy than the duping of 3,000 people into thinking that I had lost my mind. Because I am not the only person attacked by this disgusting technique. When I saw this image, a wave of personal grief went through me. You see, JFK Jr., quote unquote, is not just an internet meme to play with using visual effects. He was a real person. JFK Jr. was my editor. I knew him professionally. He mattered to us for real, IRL, not in pixels or memes or in UX and UI, for real. I did not ever know him as a friend or even as a social acquaintance. I knew him only as my editor and publisher. I admired him greatly at a warm distance, the way any writer loves a really good, committed editor and publisher. He changed my life for the better in ways I will never forget. He also brought a very important thing into the world. I had been aware of JFK Jr., of course, via the media in the mid to late 1990s, as people of my generation were. When he started his magazine, George, I was alert to the fact that its premise was a really good idea. It was centered on JFK Jr.'s insight that politics and celebrity and popular culture were merging, and the publication had to chronicle and analyze this phenomenon. He saw, at a time when politicians were stuffy older white men in suits for the most part, who tried to be very serious, and celebrities inhabited another world altogether, that these worlds would soon intermingle. And yet, news coverage of this gifted young man and his startup seemed always to stop just grudgingly short of giving him credit for his own talent, his own hard work, or his own tremendous originality of thought. But I understood the zeitgeist. I'd been close to the Clinton world as a White House spouse. I understood what a fantastic idea JFK Jr. had. I credited him. Because I respected him from afar, I was pleased when his office reached out to hire me, a young feminist then with just one book to my name, as a columnist for the new magazine. This would also be my first opinion column. JFK Jr. showed courage in tasking me in that role. It was not common then for women to be political columnists. It was still more rare for women to be given national platforms as cultural critics. Write about anything that interests you, he said, and he meant it. Politics, personalities, popular culture, high culture, gender, sexuality. Today, when serious analysts of all of these preoccupations are a dime a dozen, this wide casting of a net may not seem that radical. At the time, though, JFK Jr. was staking out a truly groundbreaking and risky space with all of his columnists, not just with me, and with his subject matter in general. He was the kind of publisher who brings new currents of thought into American life and discourse. They don't come by that often in the history of American ideas. Meeting JFK Jr. at that time in the George offices was like meeting someone radiant with the knowledge or intuition of what America was about to become. The future vibrated around him. He was certainly charismatic, but what is charisma? He had that shimmer around him of someone who was already unfolding in terms of his great potential. He was also just incredibly nice to all the people around him, as far as I could see, from the quote least to the quote most important. He always seemed to take care to remember their concerns, their illnesses, to ask about their kids. He appeared to me to do this consistently, both in the way that someone burdened with a very famous and highly destiny entwined name must be careful with other sensibilities, but also simply from what felt organically like the kind and respectful instincts of his own decent heart. I did not know him well apart from our work interactions, but he was a good man. Like all of us in our little world at that time, as in the great world, I was stunned and horrified when I learned that he and his bride had passed away untimely. The point of all of this being, he was a real person. He was cherished. His memory, which is a blessing still to those who knew him better than I did, not to mention to his family, just as it is something I value myself, knowing him so much more distantly, does not deserve this disgusting instrumentalization and weaponization. For what it is worth, I oppose it. It is wrong. I object. What do all of these stories have to do with one another? The point is that our civilization and civilized norms, as well as truth and justice, must be defended unless we are to sink to the level of animals. We now live in a world in which random journalists, perhaps with undisclosed settlement agreements, can take baseless swipes at their peers without responsibility or accountability. So, upholding a journalistic ethics in which I was trained, I will say to Mr. Berenson, be a real journalist, if you please, and debate me face to face if you have an issue with my work. Also, calling a female whistleblower crazy is, as you must know, if you have read any intellectual history, the oldest and ultimately least credible trick in the book. The facts always emerge at last. We now live in a world in which billion-dollar pharma-funded, quote, fact-checkers can go after critics of pharma while posing as authoritative neutral parties. There's nothing I can do there except to call my readers' attention to this and urge everyone to buy the Pfizer Documents ebook to assess for yourselves why the pharmaceutical companies are putting such vast resources into seeking to undermine its debut. Worst of all, we now live in a world in which digital shadows are deployed to misuse and abuse the memories of real people who have tragically passed away, and in which identities are cloned by unanswerable entities to savage the reputations of living people who are actually trying to serve humanity. To that, all I can do is resist by reasserting here my own humanity, my realness, and my intentions, and to speak in defense of the respectful memory of my former boss, a person whom I greatly admired, whose passing was tragic for all of us, but most of all, of course, for his very real loved ones. All I can do is invoke and put on the record my positive memories of and appreciation for this real person whose image and legacy are so appallingly being mishandled and traduced by shadowy entities whom I can scarcely locate even to confront. I, for one, am putting this all on the record because I don't consent to any of it. I don't condone this disgusting behavior on any of these fronts and the grotesque incivility all of these choices and actions represent. I don't condone a world that behaves this way. It's all not okay. And lastly, I am putting any future assailants on notice as we roll out this publication. You will not prevail. We will not be intimidated.